We start with the big international story, the announcement yesterday by President Obama that a deal had been struck between negotiators for the West and the Iranian regime.
The United States, together with our allies and partners, has reached a historic understanding with Iran, which, if fully implemented, will prevent it from obtaining a nuclear weapon. We have achieved the framework for that deal. So this deal is not based on trust. It's based on unprecedented verification.
Of course, not everybody is in favor of this deal, including not only members of the Republican caucus, but also the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Arab world.
If, in fact, Prime Minister Netanyahu is looking for the most effective way to ensure Iran doesn't get a nuclear weapon, this is the best option. If Congress kills this deal, not based on expert analysis and without offering any reasonable alternative, then it's the United States that will be blamed for the failure of diplomacy.
And the Prime Minister just released a statement saying his cabinet is united in strongly opposing the nuclear deal.
To talk to us about this now from the Jerusalem Post correspondent Yona Jeremy Bob. Yona, thank you for being with us. Appreciate it.
Glad to be back.
So obviously the reaction of the Netanyahu administration, not positive, not encouraging. It is interesting to note that President Obama apparently personally called Benjamin Netanyahu prior to speaking to the world. I'd love to have been a fly in the wall in that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's been very clear, you know, Netanyahu made his big speech in Congress a couple weeks ago, what his position, the Israeli government's position, is that basically either, you know, zero nuclear program for Iran, not, you know, sort of what we have is basically, at least on paper, is a compromise. And the Israeli government's position is, look, we don't think anything that Iran signs on is trustworthy anyway, so what's the point? And in the meantime, Iran is making problems via terrorism or insurrections in several countries in the Middle East. You know, don't be making a deal with this country. That's the government's position. Interestingly, on the left in Israel, which has mostly been saying the same messages as the Prime Minister until now, it was a lot more ambiguous. So I don't know if everybody in Israel is against it, but the government is definitely hardcore against it.
The NBC Nightly News, NBC's foreign correspondent Richard Engel, filed a report that said that there's a pending alliance forming between Arab nations and Israel, which, of course, would be one of the oddest outcomes of all of this. But the Arab world is reacting with almost the same kind of alarm that the Israeli government and the Israeli people or parts of the Israeli population are reacting. They don't like the idea of a nuclear-powered Iran any more than Israeli does, the Israelis do.
Right. I mean, the enemy of the enemy is my friend. There's no question that at this point in history, who knows how long it'll last, the Sunni Muslim states in the Middle East feel more threatened and feel that Iran and the Shiite Muslims in the Middle East are a much greater threat to them than Israel. And there's definitely, you know, behind the scenes intelligence and security cooperation going on. That does it go anything beyond the Iranian issue is very hard to say, but certainly on the Iranian issue, there's cooperation and the moderate Arab Muslim states, as we call them, are hardcore opposed, and there have been a lot of reports of them beginning to sign at least preliminary deals to establish their own nuclear programs to hedge in case Iran cheats on this deal, breaks out of this deal at some point.
We're talking with Yona Jeremy Bob, correspondent, the Jerusalem Post, jpost.com. The last time we saw a pan-Arab army was during the Yom Kippur War, or going back to the 67 war, when, of course, nations united to fight Israel. But now we're starting to see agreements made between the Egyptians, between the Saudis, between other Arab states. And all of this is in reaction to the fact that even if Iran doesn't have an actual bomb at this time, the fact that they will have official sanctioned permission to go forward with development of a nuclear program, even if it's a smaller one than they currently have, they know at some point in the future, whether it's 15 years, 16 years from now, or it's with cheating 2 years from now, once the reactors and the centrifuges are spinning and fissionable material is being manufactured, there's very little one can do about it. You can't just bomb a nuclear power plant without having the fallout and reactant from ruptured reactors.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's their worry, is whether, like you said, whether it's cheating in 2 years, and will the international community have the strength to snap back sanctions? That's supposed to be part of this deal. Snapping sanctions back automatically sounds like a long shot. They're also uniting together to fight the Houthis in Yemen that are supported by Iran. How great an alliance they're going to form, I mean, I'll tell you, every time they fought Israel in past wars, they ended up messing up their coordination because each of them were trying to gobble up different pieces of territory and didn't trust each other. So I don't know how effective they'll be, but they're certainly trying to rally together. They certainly feel very threatened by this deal, which, look, on paper, this could be a good deal to push things off, you know, for 10 years if Iran was a month or 2 days away. But everybody says Iran is a gambler and they have a religious view of the world, not a rational view. You just can't trust them.
Well, you know, here's been my bottom line on this. And I'm not, blessed are the peacemakers. And the world is a really, really difficult place right now. And if there's a way to make it less tense and less dangerous, I'm all for it. But I just think that this entire negotiation has been based on an illogical premise, and that is that a nation, Iran, that sits on, 500 years at least of fossil fuel reserves, needs a nuclear program for any reason, period. So the whole thing is predicated to me on an absurdity, and essentially, by accepting the terms of the negotiation, we've already lost, because we're basing it on something that's inherently illogical.
I agree with you completely. I think the really difficult piece is that while this deal has so many potential holes in it, I don't think it's as obvious, people who are attacking the deal, that there is an alternative, that if we had stuck with sanctions for longer, that Iran would have played ball. I think the hard truth may be that it's either this deal and sort of hoping for the best, or leaning on a military attack, or a military attack. It's not clear to me, part of the key to the sanctions was Russia and China, and it seems very clear that Russia and China were not going to continue the sanctions indefinitely. This Iran nuclear problem is an extremely difficult problem. If somebody doesn't have the military option on the table, at least as a possible threat, it's hard to see why at some point they won't go through with it.
Right, and right now there's no indication that anybody does have that on the table. Thank you so much. We always appreciate your insights. Yonah, Jeremy, Bob, Jerusalem Post, jpost.com.